The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuʻule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuʻule Ogbayani alongside Paul Brecht. I think it sounds normal.
For the most part.
For the most part. Not awful like it did yesterday morning. So we're fixed. Kind of, sort of. So we'll go with it. I think I just got to get... It's a little bit of a different sound for you guys that missed the beginning of the show yesterday. And an inside look at behind the scenes in radio. You know, like any other... Like a car. Like any other equipment. Sometimes things just run its course. And our processor died yesterday out of nowhere. It didn't even show any signs of, you know, like... Didn't show any signs of that she was going, so it kind of threw us off yesterday morning. But nonetheless, it seems to be okay now, and yeah, so we got new used equipment, I guess you could say, right now, just so that we could fix the problem immediately. So shout out AC Custodio for working with me to get this situated. I mean, we could have done fine with two mics, but as you guys know, sometimes we want at least three of us to be able to talk story. So, especially when we record our, you know, Hawaii Players pod and whatnot. And that would have been a bummer to not have a third microphone. So, we still got three mics in the studio, everybody. It's going to be a good day.
We call that new to you, not to me. And except this one's new to me, too. I'm excited. This is nice to not have a robot partner.
Well, no, but I hope everyone's having a good day. It was almost a surprise, even though we tested the microphones yesterday, obviously after we put in the equipment. You just never know. I was totally surprised and thrown off yesterday. So you just never knew what was going to happen when we jump on every time on live radio. But we... Thank you guys for tuning in this and every weekday morning on Wake Up in the Den. Got a lot of stuff going on as it is Wednesday, aka Mono Wahine Wednesday. And for today's special feature, we will play a segment of the soon-to-be-released newest episode of the Hawaii Players Pod, presented by Hawaii Pacific Health, hosted by Olivia Austin. And the new episode will feature UH senior cheerleader Kat Koch. So we are totally going and giving our cheerleaders some love because they work as hard as any other student athlete, still needing to balance school as well. So we'll hear a little bit of Kat's story, and you'll, I mean, when you see the episode, you'll definitely recognize her. She's been here for quite some time. So she's one of the ones that risk it all and fly up in the air is what I like to think. Anytime you're going to trust one person to lift you over their head, that takes some guts for sure. So a very entertaining episode with Kat coming all the way to the University of Hawaii via New Jersey. So another East Coast person, just like Paul Brecht here. So stick around for that. Hear her story. Also coming up, we'll definitely talk a lot of University of Hawaii sports, which we will start off with first things first. Get you some baseball updates as the University of Hawaii baseball team felt like forever that they finally returned home to Hawaii. And to kick things off, they played and hosted at the Les Murakami Stadium their Division II team in Chaminade University. And head coach Chad Konishi essentially going back to where he used to coach at the University of Hawaii under Mike Trapasso. So shout out Chaminade because they really held their own against the Rainbow Warriors. Final score, UH only beating Chaminade 2-0, and Chaminade only giving up runs, one run in the fourth inning, one run in the fifth. And other than that, didn't let up on the Rainbow Warriors, played very, very clean baseball. Only get their pitchers for Chaminade only giving up three walks. Like, that's insane against a very good University of Hawaii squad. Actually, UH walked Chaminade one more time. So they walked Chaminade four times. Chaminade, the Silver Swords, able to only give up three walks against UH. And that served to be a true testament as the final score. Again, only Silver Swords only falling 2-0 to the Division I Rainbow Warriors.
A really good performance for Chaminade and something that you can feel extremely proud about. If you are a Silver Swords fan, player, coach, etc., Hawaii, a very high quality program. We've seen them compete with the likes of nationally ranked programs. We saw them at the beginning of the season against Ole Miss and NC State. Obviously, they got swept against UC Irvine, but had some pretty fun battles throughout that series. And overall, is just like a good program. So it was cool to see Chaminade, one of our Division II schools here in Hawaii, and one of the three that have gotten the opportunity to play against UH this season and will get an opportunity to play at the Les. It's awesome. And it's not surprising, I don't think, to see a Chad Konishi team that is very...
I would say it's
good,
not, it's
good at the details.
It's surprising in a sense that if you guys were to look at the PacWest standing, Chaminade is actually at the bottom. So they are sitting at 8-20 in conference. And HPU, for their part, who kind of got smoked by UH, they are actually fourth in the PacWest conference, sitting at 500 right now, which they are right at the cusp of making the postseason for the PacWest. But I think it takes a whole another animal, right, where you're like, all right, I'm going to go back home, quote unquote home, where I used to coach, take my team there. And you are just, he told his pitchers what he needed to tell them. And actually, we'll let you guys hear what Chaminade head coach Chad Konishi has to say following that incredible performance by his squad yesterday.
Yeah, first of all, your starting pitcher struggled earlier this year. He really turned it on today.
Yeah, he pitched good tonight. And without his best pitch, you know, his changeup has been his best pitch all year. And he didn't throw one changeup for a strike tonight. But he competed. He used the confines of Les Murakami Stadium, fly ball out. He hit his spots. He threw strikes. That's what I tried to tell the pitching staff, you know, in our scouting report. I said they do such an amazing job of on-base percentage via walks and hit-by-pitches. I said we cannot give away freebies. And I don't think we might have walked one in the eighth inning with Zach Brown. But other than that, I thought our pitchers did a great job.
Do you think of letting him go a little bit longer, or he was always designed to go three?
No, we're going to staff it, kind of like with Coach Hill did, and we kind of set it up that way. He went a little bit longer than we maybe not had liked, but he kind of went through it, one time through the lineup, did a good job, and we just wanted to get a different look.
But you put your A second, though, right?
Yes.
But it was Reed,
over the weekend, and he went two, and I thought that would be a good time, go a little bit softer in velocity, a little bit firmer in velocity later. So,
Coach, not the first time you guys have played in the Les this year, and you have more coming up, but what is it like facing Hawaii in the Les? I mean, you're an old Hawaii guy yourself.
Yeah, it's really nice to be back in the first base dugout, right? When we were here, we were in the first base dugout, and it's awesome. I really want to thank Coach Hill. I thanked him many times for giving us this opportunity, one, to play them, and then to obviously rent the facility when they're away on the road. It's been so helpful for my program. You know, especially your first-year program, we get a chance to play in the best facility in the state, you know, so we hope to continue to do that.
A lot of young guys on the team. How have you liked how that nucleus might be coming together at this point in the year?
Yeah, young group, 22 high school kids, maybe a little bit too young, you know, and I think the bodies are starting to get tired, the swings are starting to get a little longer and slower, and then that really affects the minds. But they've done a nice job competing. Hopefully they've learned, you know, what it takes, you know, what the attack plans are by opposing pitchers to them when it comes to their offensive at-bats, learning how to play the game, you know, and then competing. And I told my guys, I said, look, we had our chances tonight. You know, you guys played well, really proud of the effort. I said, but we had our chances, and this is a D1 team that's in a good conference, you know. So if we can play like this consistently, you know, I think we would have had a more consistent record, you know, and season. But really proud of just putting a product on the field. I think we compete. And so hopefully we can move on in year two, you know, and get better, and then in year three.
2-0. Last when HPU played them was 10-1, so you feel like you guys are kind of closing the gap?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're there, especially with the local teams. You know, I think we're basically even with Hilo, you know, I think in 11 games, 6-5. Right now with HPU, who's a really good team, and they're in the mix. You know, I think we won 4 out of 7 maybe, but you know, we got four more with them. But for a first-year program, I'm very happy with where we are, especially with where we are with the local groups. You know, we got a long ways to go yet with the schools on the mainland. But, you know, as I said, these aren't excuses, but I've got 22 high school kids, first-year players, and a lot of them play, as you saw tonight. We're playing against guys that are fifth-year, sixth-year players in college, you know, and the physicality is so big compared to our kids, you know, and it's extremely noticeable. So, you know, on the road trip, we got one at Biola. I really hoped we had gotten one at Point Loma, and we had two of the four close games, and we got one at Concordia. You know, I try to preach to them that that's the fifth-ranked team in the country in Point Loma, and we're right there, you know. But, again, physicality and strength and experience, that's what we don't have, and that's why we played the season. And hopefully that will carry us through next season.
And that was Chaminade baseball head coach Chad Konishi following their 2-0 loss to the University of Hawaii. But as you mentioned, I mean, pitching was key. We said it before we played that for you. Only walked three Hawaii batters, which is really, really good. He told his team, hey, this is a good hitting team. And they are. But shout out, and I didn't realize it, but I should, like 22 essentially just out of high school players.
Yeah.
For them to be able to compete, and Chad said it, with a team that's not only a good team, but they're also a veteran team. And they're a good team in a very, very competitive conference as well, who has, and you said it before also, like, reminded everyone, playing against Ole Miss, competing against some of these top teams. So good on you, Chaminade Silver Swords, for taking it to the Rainbow Warriors. The only time we'll say that is, you know, got to give the D2 school some flowers.
I was gonna say, that's your school, it's okay for you to give them some love. we are HPU's friends, but, you know, Chaminade, shout out to Chaminade, because it really was an impressive performance. And it's exactly what you need to do against Rich Hill's team, and that's throw strikes, not provide free passes, something that we saw that kind of led to HPU's downfall when they played Hawaii, was that first inning where you have some infield hits that you just don't make the play quick enough on a slow ground ball, and all of a sudden the bases are loaded, and all of a sudden you see runs coming across. And when you can avoid unnecessary traffic on the base paths, you can keep games close. And kind of similar to soccer in a sense, baseball, if you just give yourself a chance to scratch across one run, 1 point, one goal, whatever you want, you know, then you can come up with a win on any given night, any given day. And that's what Konishi's team showed. You're right, with an incredibly young roster as well. This is a great experience for them going forward, not just for this season, but in future seasons when they are able to put on a little...
Get some stuff.
Yeah,
put on a little booty behind. But it was interesting because he talked about how, you know, his starting pitcher didn't throw his best pitch. Granted, probably maybe his best pitch with the changeup can get a little wild, and they just wanted to put it in the zone, make sure you didn't give up any freebies. Mac Elski, though, the starting pitcher, was not charged with the loss. The loss actually went and charged to Max Patterson. That was first out of the bullpen for the win. Braden Marks got the win for the University of Hawaii. And you know what? We're just going to go up against the clock.
Easy.
Because I feel like a break will just like break up the segment. So we're going to hear from Rich Hill now. Our Michael Lescaro was out there covering the game and got a chance to catch up with UH head coach Rich Hill. So this is what Rich had to say following that win.
Well, coach, good to be back home.
Great to be back home.
Back in the win column.
Yep.
Thoughts about tonight's game?
It was great. You've got to give credit, you know, to Chad Konishi and his staff, you know, for really pitching well tonight. A very well-coached team, and, you know, our guys, proud of them. You know, we grinded it out. It was great.
You guys, last time you guys were here on a Tuesday night, you guys played HPU. A lot more left-handed pitchers tonight, more right-handed pitchers. What do you thought about the pitching staff tonight?
I thought it was great. You know, we threw a shutout. It was a two-hit shutout, combined shutout with 10 pitchers. So filled up the zone a lot more tonight. And I thought our guys did a great job.
And then you guys got offense when you guys could.
Timely hitting, you know, I think it was a great sack fly by Kyson. I think he made an adjustment in the box with a two-strike approach, did a great job. And then Elijah, you know, had that big hit with two outs, which gave us a little breathing room.
You talked about Coach Chad Kanishi and that program. You know, first year back in a long time, but tonight they really kind of showed that they have potential in the coming seasons. Kind of talk about their growth. And
well, he's Chad's just, you know, got the superpower of human connection, so he's going to really do a great job, you know, with that program at Chaminade. You know, however high they can go, you know, with the resources, you know, that they have, that's exactly how high, you know, that Chad's going to take them. So he's just one of those guys that's just special. You know, he's going to max out, you know, whatever situation he's in.
Our last question, you know, big series coming up this weekend. What's going to be important for your guys' team to do well to come up with the series win?
Well, I think we need to have two good days of practice. You know, we haven't done that, you know, in a while. We've been on the road forever, playing games, lifting a lot of weights, but just, you know, trying to, you know, get some things straight. Obviously, hitting-wise, you know, we need to get back to work a little bit there, and then our starting pitching, you know, for the weekend needs to be in shape.
Cool. Thanks, Coach.
All right,
brother. Appreciate you.
And that was our Michael Lescaro catching up with UH head coach Rich Hill following their 2-0 win over Chaminade. And again, taking a quick look at the Pac West, Hawaii Pacific University is the highest currently in the standings out of the Hawaii schools at 4, sitting at 500 in conference. And the University of Hawaii Hilo and Chaminade are at the bottom. Hawaii Hilo at 10-20 in conference and Chaminade at 8-20. So as it stands right now, we are just rooting for the Sharks to get in there to the postseason. And who knows? Maybe we might have to do a road trip. We did a road trip for the basketball Sharks, so never say never. Never say never. But anyways, we definitely have to step aside way up against the break, so we'll be right back in a minute on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Brecht. I'm Ku'ule Agbayani. Happy Manawahine Wednesday. And today, we'll play you a segment from our soon-to-be-released newest episode of the Hawaii Players Pod, hosted by Olivia Austin and presented by Hawaii Pacific Health. So it'll be out this weekend, and the newest episode features University of Hawaii cheerleader Kat Koch. So here's Olivia's, just a portion of Olivia's chat with Kat.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hawaii Players Pod. I'm Olivia Austin, and we've got Kat Koch today from the University of Hawaii cheerleading team.
Hi.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to finally have a cheerleader on the show, because I was, as a former cheerleader, I live and die to talk about cheerleading, so...
Yes, this is same. And I'm so excited to be here as well. This is so fun and exciting.
Okay, so let's get right into it. You're from New Jersey.
Correct. Yes, I'm from New Jersey, originally from Scotch Plains, New Jersey. And basically, the reason why, I mean, everyone asked me how I ended up in Hawaii. And honestly, it's because of cheerleading. And actually, I was recruited by the coach of UH to come out and cheer for the University of Hawaii. It was like after... most people have already decided like where they were going. And like when I originally like applied, I got like a very small academic scholarship. And I was like, yeah, okay, I don't see this like happening. Like no shot. I'm going to be able to afford it. But then the day after like decision day, it was like May 2nd, I got an email from the university. And it was like, hey, like you got this like pretty decent sized academic scholarship. And I was like, okay. Mom was like, we can make this work. Like, how about you reach out to the coach? So then like I emailed the coach, like they already had tryouts and everything. Like I was like, oh, this is like a long shot, like no shot. But I emailed him and he like emailed me back right away. And he's like, hey, like, so I think I'm going to make a new trip to New Jersey on Monday. And I like kind of thought it was a joke because why would a coach from Hawaii like always come all the way out to New Jersey? And he did. And he met me and he basically like offered me a spot on the team. And I was like, yep, this is where I'm going. My mom's like, yeah, you'd be crazy not to take this, like, go. Like, what are you doing type of thing. So that's how I ended up here for the most part. And
that's crazy.
Yeah.
No, because... cheerleading, normally they don't like recruit like that.
Right.
They don't
no.
really recruit at all. Like you just kind of go to the school and then you try out for the team.
Right. Well, that's most people's experiences too. Like my roommate and like my best friend, she like was a diehard like Hawaii like lover. Like she went to all the clinics, she went to like the tryouts and she like knew she wanted to come here. So So that's how I guess she came to the program. And that's like, I feel like a lot of people's experiences, like they'll like go to the trials for the program, try out, and then make the team or don't make the team. But my experience was very different, but very interesting and awesome.
That's a lot easier than trying out. There's a lot of different programs. Were you looking at any other cheer programs?
Not necessarily any other program. I was kind of, I applied to 19 schools out of high school. Yeah, because I did not know exactly where I was going, if I was going to cheer in college, if I wasn't going to cheer in college, mm-hmm. what like my plan was. Did I want to stay close to home? Did I want to go far away? So I was kind of just all over the place. I was committed to a school back in New Jersey at first, but then when this opportunity came out, I was like, yeah, I have to kind of take this. Like, it'd be crazy not to. And I'm so glad that I did. And like, it all worked out in that type of sense.
So at what age did you kind of start cheerleading?
I tried out for like my little like town team in kindergarten, like going into first grade.
Oh, like the rec team?
Yeah, like the rec team. And that was like so much fun. And my mom kind of, we just got like a flyer home from school one day. And I was like, do you want to try for cheerleading? I was like, yeah, sure. Like not knowing anything about cheerleading at all. So that's kind of how I started. And I've fallen in love with it ever since. Like just with like tumbling and stunting and all of that. Like I cheered, I did competitive cheer for the most part until high school and then college. But then also I did like all-star cheer for a little bit for a few years. And then before going to college, I was really focused on like high school cheer as well as just co-ed stunting in general in order mm-hmm. to try to get ready for college. And then coming here again, like cheer has been my whole life, just like being in Hawaii in general. And then so much so that I actually got my brother into cheerleading as well really? When he was going to college. Yeah, he's actually currently also on the UH cheer team.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I convinced him to become a cheerleader. Yeah, I mean, he was not free, but it's okay. Well, maybe another time.
You're listening to a segment of the Hawaii Players Pod presented by Hawaii Pacific Health, featuring University of Hawaii cheerleader Kat Koch and hosted by Olivia Austin on this Manawahine Wednesday.
So you can start competing at Worlds at 12. We were both on junior level 5 teams.
Yeah, those two.
So what age did you start competing on level 5?
I think I started at 11 because I started on a restricted team. The only fun fact, the only two levels I've ever competed are 3 and 5.
So you were just, wait, so you already had tumbling when you were
I already had tumbling before I got into All-Star Cheerleading. My mom actually taught me how to tumble in our living room. Wow. Fun fact. Yeah. So she like taught me my back handspring like within a week because I was on the cheer team and I wanted mm-hmm. to be able to do a back handspring. And then she taught me my standing tuck. She taught me my round of handspring. And then once we started getting like past that, then I like started to actually take like tumbling classes really? Because she couldn't teach me like everything.
Yeah. So but, did you take him like gymnastics tumbling or was it?
No, it was really just like all cheerleading tumbling. I never really did gymnastics. I grew up as a dancer and a cheerleader like my entire life. Like those were like my two main sports. And even in high school, I went to performing arts high school where so I danced every day and then I would take the bus over to like my hometown high school where I would do cheerleading. And then I would do more dance too. So
you kind of belong on stage.
Yeah. Kind of. I've always just loved performing in front of people no matter what. Even here at UH, like my major was dance.
Really?
And like we can talk about that too if you want. Yeah, but like my dance is my major, but I'm also on a pre-med track. And then I'm also on the cheerleading team. So I'm very like, I have a lot that I
That's
do.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But like, they're all things that like I enjoyed. So I was never able to choose just one, even though at one point my mom was like, yeah, no, you should probably choose between cheer and dance. I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Like, and I continued that through college.
Wait, so did you cheer and dance as well when you were an All-Star?
Mm-hmm. So I've always, both. Yeah, I've always been a cheerleader and dancer. Like,
so did you compete at the Dance Worlds as well?
No, I never did like that type of dance. It was more just like studio training. Like it wasn't really like the whole like, because I feel like that's a little bit more, I want to say like commercial, showy.
It's more performing.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Like, yeah.
Do you have a favorite sport to cheer for?
Oh my goodness. When people ask me this question, I end up just saying all the sports because I'll be like, my first one is always like, oh, I love cheering for football because even though the games are super long, I love being out there for like that mm-hmm. amount of time. And I also really enjoy the sport of football and just like watching it. And I enjoy like those long days, even though they are really long. But then at the same time, I'm like, oh, I love volleyball because it's so interesting or like fast, like watching the ball hits you over the nets. But then I'm like, okay, but I also love basketball because there's just like little things that like of each sport that I love cheering for. And maybe it's just because both of my brothers played football. So like when I get to cheer football, I'm like, I know the most about it.
Right.
But honestly, there's great things about cheering for every single sport. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Hawaii has a really cool, the run out for the football.
Oh yes. We get to go on the surfboard for the run out. That's like probably one of my favorite memories.
You get to, have you been the one?
Yes. I've been on the surfboard twice alone. And then one time I got to ride it with my best friend. She was like standing and I was like sitting. So we got to do that when we traveled for the UNLV game a few years ago. I think that was like my third year. So that was like such a good experience. And it's so cool, but also so nerve-wracking because you're just like, okay, it's just me on the surfboard. And everyone like will get so many like good feedback about that. Like the run out. And
it's,
you're
iconic.
Like, I don't want to mess this up. Like, I got to do good. I got to do good. I got to be smiling. Like, so it's like really stressful at the same time, but so much fun. And like, it wasn't until this year where I felt like I truly enjoyed the experience because I was like, yeah, this is like my last time on it, which was like kind of sad. But, and then also like my brother got to run underneath me and I was like, this is kind of sick too. Like, when am I ever going to have this experience again? So it's been really neat to have that.
And that was a segment from the soon to be newest episode or soon to be released newest episode of the Hawaii Players Pod presented by Hawaii Pacific Health and featuring UH cheerleader Kat Koch, along with Olivia Austin. And yeah, it's pretty iconic. Did you, Paul, know anything about the traditional or unique one-of-a-kind to Hawaii run out of the surfboard, the cheerleaders on the surfboard before coming here and seeing your first game?
No.
In person?
No, but it's funny because everything when it comes to UH athletics, all the way down to like, those little things that the cheerleaders do are so, so cool. Like, mm-hmm. It was one of the first things that I ever noticed. But no, I had never known about it until I had come out here. And that's, I think, a real shame because it's cool. It's fun.
Yeah, because it's one of those things, right? It's kind of for games that are nationally televised, it's one of those things because the runout portion is rarely ever televised at all nationally.
Right.
They just kind of go to the announcers in the booth, do a little quick pregame, yada, 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 game setup, and then you get the game action. So unless you are attending the game live or you see it on social media, you really would have no idea that something that cool and unique in Hawaii happens. And she brought up, you know, one of her favorite moments is when they did a game at UNLV and she got to ride the surfboard with her best friend. Like, I was like, I think I remember that moment because I was thinking like, oh, there's two ladies on the surfboard, like that's pretty cool. And then at the same time, I'm like, I give them so much credit because I can't imagine how terrifying it is at the beginning. However, they're already brave, as I mentioned, because they trust their, you know, cheer partner to hold them up really, really high up in the air and toss them up as well. So they're already brave. So I'm assuming balancing running out on a surfboard is really nothing to these cheerleaders to balance on, but I'm just like,
level, dude.
I can't imagine. I mean, and I used to surf, so, but at least when you fall off on a surfboard, you're falling into water. Yeah, depending on how deep or shallow where you're surfing, that gets a little scary because of the reef. But for the most part, if you learn how to shallow dive when you wipe out, then you'll be okay depending on how big you're surfing, as long as you're not charging big waves like UH baseball coach Rich Hill. But
hey, he'll tell you you respect every wave front and every wave face and all that.
But I'm just like, man, some of these girls that come in, they like most of the cheer team are not from here. There's a couple that are local, but Kat, who isn't from here, probably never surfed before. And then you'd get on the surfboard and go through that. And same thing, if you lose your balance, you need to trust that your cheerleaders on the size of you are going to catch you. But it's just such a cool thing. And I love that it's so unique to Hawaii. Not only that, but now Timmy Chang implemented the like with the drums and everything now and the fire dancing to aid in the run out. And it's just, it's a whole thing. And I love it so much.
It's a production and I absolutely love it. Everyone loves it. It's one of those things that just adds to the game day experience. It adds to the culture of Hawaii and so on and so forth. In general, though, I think just one word to describe those young ladies and gentlemen on the UH cheer teams is just fearless, you know, mm-hmm. in a lot of different ways, because it can also be difficult just to be a cheerleader. Like to lead a cheer in itself, they bring out the fun in a lot of different sporting events. They're all over the place, and you kind of set it up when you were talking about Kat coming on. Like, she's somebody that is one of the most familiar faces to UH fans that they might never learn the name of. Mm-hmm. And I recommend you take the time to listen to our Hawaii Players Pod featuring Kat Koch, just to learn about her journey and learn about cheer in general, because kind of like I said, it's one of those sports that doesn't get the same shine, same coverage, whatever, but is there and putting in so much work all the time.
Yeah, and like she had said during that segment, and she talks a little bit more about it when you guys hear the full or watch the full episode later on this week, that she's, you know, majoring in dance, but also doing the pre-med study. She wants to be a doctor. So same thing, just like all of these other student athletes having to balance dance, cheer, school. And she does want to. She said she loves it so much here that if and when she becomes a doctor, she does want to stay here and give back to the people of Hawaii and the community here as a doctor. So shout out Kat Koch. And this is what the Hawaii Players Pod is all about. So go check it out. You can check out previous episodes on our YouTube channel or hawaiisportsradio.com. Before we take a break, I do want to mention, though, some minor University of Hawaii news. I don't think we mentioned it on the show today, but today is the regular signing period, or the beginning of the regular signing period, for Division I men's basketball. We haven't seen anything come through yet. However, on the football side, this is also when you start to continue to see transfers. According to Rivals Sports, they tweeted this out yesterday, that Hawaii wide receiver Eddie Ose-Niketia entered the transfer portal. He is the guy that most are familiar with as the New Zealand record holder sprinter. So, and, you know, shout out to him. Hope everything works out in, you know, going on. I don't think it's hard. I don't think people understand how difficult a certain sport can be if you haven't been playing that sport for so long, because a lot of it is just muscle memory and mechanics. So the guy can run, he's fast, but to assume or to anticipate that he will be able to have the correct timing and catching ability as a Division I caliber wide receiver was always going to be a long shot, right? Like, I think it's easy for people that have never tried to play a certain sport later in your life. You think athletes are athletes. And sometimes people are. Sometimes people are that gifted that they can easily just pick up a sport later in life and be decent or good at it. But sprinting is one thing. Being really fast and in shape is one thing. But having to come up with the timing of running routes and catching the ball, because I had to do it too. It's crazy when I was playing women's flag football. And your initial, your initial instinct, right? When you start to see the ball come over the top, you're already like putting your hands out and you're kind of running with your hands out for 5-10 yards, where a professional, obviously I'm not a professional wide receiver, are like, they don't put their hands out until almost like the second or two before the ball gets there. And trust me, you guys, have someone throw you a pass and see how your instinct is just like, oh, I'm gonna, almost like a cartoon, when you guys see the cartoon and the hands are out and they're running. But that slows you down. But that's the kind of things. I'm not saying that Eddie did that, but those are the little things that if you're not used to playing the sport, it doesn't seem like it's a big thing, but it'll affect you and how much you'll play and whatnot. But either way, I wish Eddie the best. But
well, not to mention, like, Hawaii just has a lot of talent in the wide receiver room. We return Stephen noted member of the Hawaii football team.
Just like I tell everyone, it's a state school. We pay state taxes, so we.
True. I did just go through.
We just paid our state taxes. So we can say we when it comes to the University of Hawaii.
Even so, I am not the one out there taking the hits. In general, yes, wishing all the best to Eddie in the next step of his career. And just because it didn't work out here doesn't mean his football career is over, doesn't mean it's not going to work out elsewhere. But it's kind of what I was saying in terms of, he was always going to be a long shot because he got a late start and he was coming into a room that is exceptionally talented already. And it's not like Hawaii is going to stop recruiting mm-hmm. wide receivers just because they're developing a guy who has some speed. They have to continue to bring in talent. You obviously bring in Jarvis Hamuli, who is Pafele Ashlock's brother or half-brother. I'm not totally sure. But I know they're related in general. That's somebody who's very, very excited or very, very exciting. You have a bunch of other players in this class who are just listed as athletes who typically work their way to the wide receiver position. It was always going to be tough, not to mention you bring back your top receivers from last season in Pafele Ashlock, Stephen McBride, Alex Perry still here, so on and so forth. Another Hawaii Rainbow Warrior into the transfer portal as well, Freddie Pelling, the 6'9" offensive tackle. He was a part of the NFL's global academy type of, the NBA has a similar type of deal. He hasn't seen a ton of burn. Now goes, looks for another place. He put out a nice little message thanking Coach Timmy Chang and the staff and the state of Hawaii and so on and so forth. But that is another thing. So you guys will continue to see the players hit the portal. This is like the second wave of portal mania in college football.
Portal mania.
Portal combat is what I was really looking for.
That's a good hashtag. Yeah, hashtag portal combat. I mean, because that's when you look at UH men's basketball, right? And I know everyone's still freaking out because we had a lot of graduates and then the transfer out of Morsec. Obviously, Tanner Christensen committing to come to the University of Hawaii. So I'm assuming we are going to see the official signing soon. As I mentioned, it is the beginning of the official signing period for Division I men's basketball now through May 15th. There's a ton of guys available. From what my understanding, it's like they're calling on a lot of guys, and there's just like, it's deep at every position. So just because we're not seeing immediate news of guys committing and coming here, these athletes as well are probably getting courted by other schools, and at the same time, they're kind of tracking. Maybe they have another school they want to go to, but if they see this other school sign someone in their position, they're like, well, maybe I'm going to get more playing time at, as Coach Chef liked to say it from football, the land of opportunity here at the University of Hawaii. So this is a time now more than ever that student athletes have equally as much control of their own careers as the schools do. So it's a different time right now. I would say people don't freak out, but
it's tough because right now is, you feel like you should be getting a ton of commitments, but you're right where, and it's a tough reality as a group of five school, and the resources as a group of five school, or just not as a high major, mm-hmm. is that those spots typically are filled up first, because you have more resources, you have more exposure, more opportunities there, and kids, they fall in love with the ACC schools, they fall in love with the Big Ten schools, they fall in love with those schools that they become very accustomed to seeing over and over again. But you're right, a lot of those spots go quickly, and that doesn't mean there aren't good players still left on the dance floor looking for a partner. This is the chance for Hawaii to get some really good JUCO talent. This is a chance for Hawaii to recruit in other leagues where perhaps there's an opportunity to grab a guy with just 1 year left of eligibility, and then you can kind of balance that alongside of a development of your younger guys. And then there are also a lot of players who, I mean, have 2-3 years left of eligibility that I've heard Hawaii has checked in on as well. And that's kind of where you add in this full mixture for a new roster, because you can't bring in a bunch of just grad transfers or you'll face the exact same situation next year. And you also don't want to bring in a bunch of guys who are second or third year guys but are essentially first year because they haven't seen a ton of playing time. So it's an interesting time. I'm going to echo Ku's message. Relax. It'll be okay. There are going to be commitments that come down the pipeline, and very likely come down the pipeline within the next week or week and a half.
Yeah.
That said, part of the reality of playing in the Big West is that you play second fiddle to some of these larger conferences that just have more resources to throw at players.
I also have to double down on what I've said before, just so people, because I just see it so much about, and I tweeted about this. When it comes to players and coaches, people just throw out like coaches' names as if they want to come here or as if players want to come here. It's hilarious. And so I tweeted about, this is what my tweet means in case you guys follow me. It had nothing to do with actual like a girl, because I tweeted, just a reminder that just because she's available doesn't mean she wants you. But that was kind of a reference to just seeing everyone say, oh, look, we missed out on Chris Acker. Oh, Dan Munson's available. Like, how could, you know, people
Dan
calling
Munson
for
went to Eastern Washington, by the way, everybody, in case you missed it,
calling for, you know, Iran Ganach's job and whatnot. But OK, feel how you want about the current coach. But at the same time, don't think that just because certain coaches are available that they want to come here, get paid less than $500,000, have to deal with the resources or lack thereof that Hawaii has. So it's just funny, and I get a chuckle every time because they're just like, oh, that person's available. That person's available. Oh, we missed out on this person. Like, you don't even know that that person even was interested
remotely.
We weren't
even in the dance for some of these people.
This job. So just tell your friends. And just that's my same sentiment with players. Like, I get it. We live here for a reason. We love it. It's beautiful. But at the same time, if you're a student athlete, it is very, I mean, Paul can speak to it as well. It's very, very far from your family. If that's something that's important to you as a young person, you don't want to play in Hawaii being far away from your family. I mean, part of the reason I've never moved away is because my family's here and I don't want to be far away from them. So I can only imagine for kids on the continent, same thing, coming here. Do I want to be this far? Do I want to not be able to play in front of them that often?
That's the big
so
part
it's almost the reverse how we get local players to stay. Their big reasoning for staying is I want to play in front of my family. People need to realize that that's very much the reality on the flip side, where kids that grow up on the continent, they don't want to come here because they want to play in front of their family. And not everybody likes the beach, you know? So it's not like, hey, I want to go out there. I want to pay exorbitant amount for groceries when there's not that much NIL money that I can receive. So there's all of these different things that are in the mix now that were not there X amount of years ago that I think people have not wrapped their mind around, and thinking that Hawaii is just so awesome, which it is.
The game's changed.
It's not reality these days, where it's, you can't afford to live here. If you don't have NIL, then you don't want to starve.
I mean, God, Caitlin Clark just said she loved Cleveland of all places. You know, obviously times have changed. No, although, sorry. That was
on the Pat McAfee show this morning, and then they said she'll love Indiana. But they were like, you'll love Indiana. And then one of his producers were like, except the drivers.
Yeah, well, that's anywhere you go.
So it's not just here, Paul.
No, it's also in New York. I can tell you that much. Either way, it is not very, very easy to recruit, no matter how much you want to think that. Like, no matter where you are, especially here in Hawaii, you're the only Division I school within 2,500 miles. That means every single road trip is a 6+ hour flight. That's not the case for anybody else. Not everybody wants to do that.
Yeah.
It's just simple facts. Yeah. And we can go down the entire list. In general, they're working just as hard as every other coaching staff in America to try and recruit players. They will recruit players. They will reload. And we'll see it come down the pipeline, because now players can officially sign with their new schools.
Yeah, and I do want to say one last thing to kind of close out this topic. Can we start taking the negative energy that we use indirectly bashing the players that do choose to be here, saying that we need better players?
I hate that
so much. Like, can we just appreciate those that, especially the ones that aren't on scholarship? Let's appreciate the players that choose to be here, that are paying their way through school, and who knows how difficult their living situation is, trying to afford to be here in Hawaii, and stop trying to say like, oh, we need tougher players. Because you, like, in hindsight, you are just indirectly insulting the players that we do have by saying that they're just not good enough. So can we
also push away prospective players? Mm-hmm. I've seen it literally happen this recruiting cycle, where a player Hawaii has been recruiting saw what some of you super fans say and like it, see it, screenshot it. I talk to them. It turns them off from the school. And then they want to come back and give it back to Hawaii tenfold. So anytime you see yourself talking some smack on social, just remember, you are specifically making yourself more miserable and making Hawaii worse.
Yeah. Again, let's appreciate the players that...
Hey, that want to be here.
Coach is fine. Like, they're adults. They take the job for a reason. Yeah, they know whatever. It comes with the territory. But, I mean, indirectly bashing the players that choose to be here. Like, you guys just realize that when you say things that you're saying our players aren't good enough, you are essentially, saying, just dissing the guys that and girls that choose to be here. So just think about it and rant over. Welcome. Thank you for attending my TED Talk. We'll be right back to close it out on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. That's what people
say. Mm-hmm. I go on too many dates. Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den, Kuule Agbayani and Paul Brecht. Shake it off. Needed to reset there, like my rant in the last segment. Woosah. Anyways. Happy Manawahine Wednesday. All right. And to close things out, I mean, it's exactly what we expected. We talked a lot about the WNBA draft yesterday, and the numbers came in as well. 2.45 million viewers, nearly five times the year ago number, which was 512,000. That's a plus 307% increase versus the previous record in 2004, which was Diana Taurasi's draft year, and that one got 601,000 viewers. So 2.45 million tuned in for the WNBA draft. And no other surprise, Caitlin Clark jersey sold out, and I believe it was like, I think Michael Rubin from Fanatics said it was like the fastest a rookie jersey has sold out, man or woman. Ooh, wow. Good job, DJ Pauly B.
No, it's not shocking at all, though, because we've been talking about, if you've been a fan of Wake Up in the Den, you've known to be a fan of the W for months now, because we've been kind of pushing how the league is going to continue blowing up, and these numbers just continue to say that, where you have, Caitlin Clark is a massive name, but you also have Angel Reese going to Chicago alongside Camila Cardoso. With those two there, you not only have, I mean, think about the rivalry that can continue going into the W now with some teams and some regions that don't necessarily face off and are bitter rivals, like the Pacers and the Bulls. I don't sit here and I'm like, oh, Indiana Pacers versus the Chicago Bulls. Chicago Sky versus Indiana Fever. Aaliyah Boston, you toss in there as well. She's going to be banging down low against Cardoso, her former teammate. Yeah. Like, it's fun. There are so many storylines that go in it. The players are noteworthy, have social media followings. It's no surprise to see the numbers continue to rise, and hopefully that means the dollars continue to rise as well for these young women.
Yeah, and unfortunately, if you guys, like I mentioned, are late to the party, if you're a Caitlin Clark fan and didn't get your jersey,
tough.
You can still pre-order it. However, so the first batch that was already made that should be shipped out, and you could hopefully get it before the season begins. Now, if you were to order it, the next shipment will go out in August, so pretty much after the season is done. So it's not really, these are the key dates though that you guys have to know. So the preseason games begin on May 3rd, and the final roster cut down is on May 13th, and the regular season begins in less than a month on May 14th. So, and then the playoffs begin in September. So should the Fever make it into the playoffs, and you could potentially have your Caitlin Clark jersey in hand, but if you didn't get your hands on it, then it's a little too late, at least for this upcoming season, as it won't ship again till August towards the ending of the regular season, which ends on September 19th. So, oh well. You can get other jerseys like Minnesota Lynx jersey, Alyssa Peely, which I got to go look that up to see if that's available, because gotta rep my Poly girl here, even though I love my Aces. But like I said yesterday, the only thing that would have made it WNBA draft or on Monday even better is if Alyssa Peely somehow got drafted by the Aces. But it's okay. I'll just have to cheer for two teams now.
Tough for you. No.
No.
No. You get to watch more WNBA. No.
Yeah, and League Pass is only like $80 for the season. It's a pretty good deal, you guys, to go out and get there and make things happen. But shout out 2.45 million viewers for the WNBA draft.
And Blake Griffin said, I don't want to live in a basketball world that I see the W more popular. He retired.
And Jonte Porter planned to get kicked out of the league forever. You, so
get out of here.
So if you guys, former Raptors player Jonte Porter, who got busted for gambling on himself in the bad way and kind of giving insider trader information, has been banned for life from the NBA. So with that, we got to go. So for Paul Brecht, I'm Kool-Aid. Mahalo for listening. Bye.